I have a very simple message this morning. It's not long. It's a good day for a short sermon. Amen. The Bible says God loves a merry heart doeth good like medicine, so it's good to laugh. But you know, I was not raised a Christian. I was raised. whatever. But when I became a Christian, my dad became very angry about it. He allowed me to go to church, but he'd actually make fun of it. But I would ride my bike. It was an Assemblies of God church. It was called Church on the Hill, and I'd ride my bike, and it was called Church on the Hill because it was on a very big hill, very big. It was too big to ride, so I'd push my bike up the hill, and then I'd put my little change in, my little tithe, and then I would ride my bike home, and I could just, if there was no cars coming across the stop signs, I could cruise all the way home. It was about a 3/4 of a mile trip, no lie. I mean, it was far. But it was a straight shot, and then I would turn right. But if I could go back in time, you know, since then I've served ministries in Mexico, and I've in New Mexico and Mexico and in California. I've been part of churches in California. I went, and there was 30 people. When I left, there was 1,500. And I've seen a lot of growth and ministries. But if I could go back in time and talk to the little me, what would I say? This is just some things that I would say to myself. Now, this is not what I would do different. That's an entire series. This is not what I would do different. This would be same decisions, same choices, how to better. This is not trying to remove the mountains. This is to better equip myself to climb the mountain higher. Does that make sense to you? So this is not what I would do different. I would avoid this person, not this person. No, I wouldn't. This is just some things I would tell myself. Some of the things I've done well, some not so well, but I would tell myself just to better equip me so it wouldn't have been so hard. So I'm not trying to change the mountain, you know, the Everest. They're not trying to shrink the mountain. They're trying to better equip themselves so they make it to the top. The first thing I would tell the little me, and I would push the bike and I would just talk to the little me, and this is what I would say. The first thing I would say is, most men will not, and this is from then until right before I got to the epicenter. So if I say something, this first point, it's not about anybody here. I mean, Pastor Easy has done a wonderful fathering job. But I would tell myself, because there was years before the epicenter, I would tell myself, most men will not know how to love you. They will not know how to put their arm around you, encourage you, bless you. They will just use you for your gifts. But you serve them with a pure heart. And I did. But this is the thing, and it's not just about unforgiveness or forgiveness. I would tell the little me, I would say this. It's not because you are flawed, it's because they are wounded. Right. See, what happens is someone's iniquity becomes our identity. And iniquity means to twist or distort. That's really what the word means in the original Bible word. You got the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic. In the original, it means to twist or distort. And what happens is the Bible says we were created in his image, but when the fall of man came, then the image got twisted. But it's still some of his image. That's why an atheist can have morals. That's why people have a conscience. It's a fallen image. It's not an absent image. That's why atheists will go, I don't have morals, because it's a twisted image. You're still twisted. And what happens is we look at their mess and we think it's our mirror. And so they project that on us and becomes our person. And I would tell myself, it's not because you are flawed, it's because they are wounded. They will not know how to love you unconditionally or bless you. They won't have the same care that your heavenly Father has, but you serve them anyways because it's all for the kingdom. That's the first thing I would tell the little me. Amen. And I stick to men. And let me just tell this. Just recently I heard a story. I was just listening to the radio, and this man, he goes, you know, I got a divorce. My kid was very young, and my wife, she made it hard. And we weren't going to stay married. So he goes, I was just so messed up. I didn't want anything. I just ran away. He goes, well, later in life, he goes, I received Jesus. And God began to talk to me and convict me. And I wanted to make that relationship right. So I called my daughter. And she goes, Dad, this is an adult woman now. And she started crying. She goes, did you leave because I was ugly? His distorted, twisted image, and she received that as herself. His iniquity, his twisting became her identity. And you think in the natural, an adult woman wouldn't think that. And she, on paper, she wouldn't say that, but that's what she received. Did you leave because I was ugly? And he said, no, honey, I left because I was a mess. And he just owned it. So men, mostly it's men, and you know, men don't know how to, and I'm not judging fathers or parents, I'm just saying they don't give their daughters unconditional love, and the daughters doesn't receive love from the father, so the first clown that comes along and shows a little affection, they take it as love, and they latch onto it because they want it. That says, because dad didn't give it to them. I mean, it happens over and over and over and over again. Dad, did you leave me? Did you leave us because I was ugly? And the second thing I would tell my little self is this. Reading about prayer, talking about prayer, studying about prayer is not prayer. If I prayed instead of reading all the books of prayer, I would have been better off. And I would say, pray. Pray. Not just corporately. Pray. Because all the teachings about prayer, those aren't to encourage us to pray. I have read books on autobiographies on people that have been great prayers, and I go, that's awesome. And I look at the next book. So I would say, John, you pray. You pray, and it's just talking to God, and you listen. You don't just talk. You don't just give him a list. He's not a Santa Claus. I would say you need to listen, because he'll talk to you, and he'll guide you. So pray. And then, you know, recently I would add this, and I've had this list for a little while, and it grows and it changes, but recently I would add this, and this is just the last 4 days God's been stirring something up about me, in me, because the truth of the matter is we can change. One of my favorite people, well, actually my favorite person in all of sports is the name of John Wooden. He's actually best known for coaching. He was a believer. He coached 12 seasons at UCLA. He had this pyramid of success, and in the pyramid, it was nothing about coaching. It was about life, discipline, integrity, God, and he would have this pyramid of success. 12 seasons with UCLA, 10 championships, 4 undefeated seasons. He was an incredible man. His wife passed away, and he would write a love letter to her every day. He just was a different man. People still, players still, Clay shaking his head now, you know, they call him just like easy-isms. He had Wood-isms, and he would say, it's what you learn after you know it all that counts. Right. See, we're still learning. So I just added this part. This is going to go under prayer just 4 days ago. Failure is not fatal, but failure to change might be. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with a team. Wow. Don't let making a living prevent you from making a life. And so this is what I would add. I would say to the little me, you're not going to hear a lot of sermons on it. People aren't going to teach you about it. People aren't going to disciple you about it. They'll talk to you about prayer and this. But the Bible says pray in the Spirit and then pray with the understanding. If you could put up 1 Corinthians 14, please. 1 Corinthians 14, scriptures 14 and 15. I want to read something. It's something that, and then what happens is when God started stirring this up in me, I started looking online in some videos. We talked about Oral Roberts. And his son starts teaching. And see, I'm not saying Oral Roberts did everything great, but he said, are perfect. He was a man that had, he's just like anybody else. But he goes, I remember being 11 years old, and my dad had a dream to start a school where Jeremy went, which Sean prophesied about. He said he had a dream to do, but he didn't know how to do it. And he would drive out in the woods. He'd put my bike in his trunk, and he'd drive out in the woods a couple miles, and he would be in anguish, and he would be praying. And God spoke to him, and he says, do you have my Holy Spirit? And he says, yes. And then he would say, do you know what I have? And then he began to teach him. And he goes, then I heard my dad starting to pray. And see, he goes, he had a dream to start a school, but all he had was a little money down on a piece of land. He didn't have a faculty. He didn't have a building. He didn't have students. He didn't even have a college degree himself at that time. But he began to pray in the Spirit. And then he would begin to speak out in English. And I heard himself talking about it. He'd pray in the Spirit, praying, and then he would say, I can do that. And then he'd pray, and then he'd pray in the Spirit, and he goes, that's a good idea. See, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. And I would tell the little me, look, you're going to go in circles, John, and people will pray in tongues, but you need to pray on your own. You know, corporately, we pray in tongues, or if you're stuck in a jam, you pray in tongues. But I want you to learn something. Pray in the Spirit, and then pray with understanding. I would think we would be shocked what would come out of our mouth, our purpose, our destiny, our life, how different it would be. You know, we're all amazed about the Word. There's so many more words specifically over you from him. See, I mean, I think it's an amazing, but there's more from the King. See, and I would tell myself, John, keep the simplicity of this beauty. You're just pushing your bike up to a church. It's not about the preacher. It's not about who's singing. You just want to meet with God corporately. So you can't subtract that. It's not about who's dressing this, who's doing this. Keep the simplicity of the beauty that you have now. And so pray in the Spirit, you know, and then I looked on another video and there was another man talking and he says John G. Lake's relative said John G. Lake would do everything by that. John G. Lake was tremendously used in healing. He would pray in the Spirit and then he would pray in English. See, the Bible says my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways, but our thoughts can be his thoughts. I think we would be absolutely shocked what would come out of our mouth. people we would pray for. I was praying in tongues one day, and I just had a funny feeling. I was praying for a Chinese girl just recently, a couple days ago. I usually just get ready and go to work. I started praying in tongues 15 minutes before work. Later in that day, I got a phone call from somebody. I prayed with them over the phone. I felt the anointing, and out the words came in English. And I knew that was because I prayed in the Spirit in the morning. I would tell myself, John, he gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit for a reason. It's a gift. He's a person. Why would you refuse any gift from him? And so I would say, pray in the Spirit and pray with understanding. That's for you. That's for you. There's no replacement for prayer. And there's a lot of points I'm not going to go into. There's no replacement for purity, but purity can be replaced. I would talk about value your tears. But for the sake of time, I want to really hit this point. And I would say, John, I would tell the little me, stay in the shadow of the cross. The cross casts a wide and a long shadow. Stay in that shadow. I said, men will come and they'll say, come here, pre, mid, post-trib, come here and camp here. Come out from the shadow of the cross. But you stay in the shadow of the cross. I would say, I hear the footsteps of men coming, saying, pre, post, mid, come, John, camp here. Are you an amillennialist or premillennialist or postmillennialist or Calvinist or Arminian? See, I can discuss all those things, but I don't leave the shadow of the cross when the shadow is the protection of the cross. See, I can talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and move in prophecy, and I'm still in the shadow of the cross because it was the cross. It was because of the cross, the veil was ripped. And because of the veil was ripped, the Spirit was released, and we can receive the Holy Spirit because of the cross. The cross was just not an event. The ripples like an atom bomb still go through today. Stay in the shadow of the cross. Men will come, John, and try to pull you away from that shadow. Come here. Come here. It's our denomination. Recently, I was at another state, and it was a young man I knew from times gone past, and he's very involved in a ministry of end times, and I love the ministry, and I can receive from the ministry, but I'm sitting having breakfast with him, and after the small talk, he just leans over and goes, do you guys teach about the end times? Because that's their main focus. We're in a restaurant, IHOP. And I said, we teach about it a little. I says, not too much. I go, I'll talk about it a little. And I told him some things like, the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne, all those things. I says, but let me ask you a question. I said, but look around you. I said, some of these people won't be here next year. I go, and when they pass away, as far as they're concerned, Jesus just came back. I said, their theology won't matter. It'll be the end for them. And he just looks down and he goes, man, that's true. And I told him, I said, recently I was at a baseball game, and I don't know, eternity. I was thinking about eternity, and I told the guy next to me, he was a Christian, and I says, look around. I go, I wonder how many people won't be here next month. It was full. Heart attacks. I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just saying life is like that. And I told him, I says, at the end of days, there'll be one division and two judgments, and it won't be divided on theology. If you had good theology or bad theology, it won't be divided on skin color or gender. It won't be divided on riches. I will be divided on one thing. It doesn't matter if you're, and I told him, I says, all the different eschatology doctrines, you can have a board and they'll say, I'll put the rapture here and this is the Antichrist. I said, you have all these different theologies. I go, but they all have this. They all have an end. I said, they all end. And he goes, that's true. So there's one division, and Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. It'll only be divided on that. Did you know him? Not if you had the right theology. It won't even be if you spoke in tongues or believed in healing. It won't be on that. You can be sick, die, and go to heaven. You can be healthy and die and go to hell. It's not based on that. It's not based on your denomination. It's not based on how long you've been a Christian. There'll be one division and two judgments, the left and the right, the sheep and the goats. Did you know him? It won't be on your end time. So I would say, John, stay in the shadow of the cross. You can talk and you can discuss and you can see, but always be in the protection of the cross. It casts a long and a wide shadow. And see, in that shadow, I can talk about the Father's love. I can talk about the Father's love because it was the cross that allowed it to have it. I can talk about the Father's blessing. I'm still in the shadow of the cross. I'm still in the protection of the cross. Made in the image of God. We know what that image is, but if you go to the root word of that word, it means shadow. We are to shadow him. And I would say, stay in the shadow of the cross, men. And I would tell the little me, men smarter than you. They'll have more degrees than you have years. And they'll say, John, come camp here. This is the most important thing. But you stay in the shadow of the cross. That is your purpose. Jesus. And when everything gets wrapped up and all the different doctrines and all the different theologies, then people will see that was the true purpose. Jesus. It's not just an event for the forgiveness of sins. It's to bring you close to intimacy. The Bible says, not a preacher, the Bible says, nobody knows the Son but the Father. And nobody knows the Father but the Son, and whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So the biggest blessing the Father can give us is the revelation of his Son. Kiss the Son, lest the Father be angry. The Bible says the Father has given Jesus all judgment. And then it tells us why. Many times it doesn't tell us why. So it tells us why. So those that honor the Son, honor the Father, honor the Son in like manner. Millions of people, millions, millions, possibly billions, have tried to go around the Son to get to the Father. And when you do that, you get neither. We just want God. We don't want your Son. He's just another prophet. See, stay in the shadow of the cross. When a Mormon and a Jehovah's Witness come to my door, I instantly go to, who do you say Jesus is? I'm in the shadow of the cross. It doesn't matter about your end times. It doesn't matter about Joseph Smith. It doesn't matter about the tablets. Let's say, who do you say Jesus is? No, he just wasn't a brother of Lucifer. He's just not a prophet. Islam, who do you say Jesus is? He's just he's just not another. That's the key, the shadow of the cross. We judged on that. Did you know him? Won't be if you prophesied. Many. It won't be if you laid hands on the sick. Many. It won't be if you were in charismatic meetings, raised flags, danced. Did you or did you not know him? One line, two sides, two judgments. One division, two judgments. And the Christians, we will be judged by our works. And we'll put down our works, but we will not be judged. And the sinners themselves will be judged, not on their works. And they'll be judged according to perfection. Not Jeffrey Dahmer, not Ted Bundy. Perfection will be the mark, and they'll be judged. And friends, let me tell you, I'd rather have my works judged than me judged. So I would tell the little me, stay in the shadow of the cross. Doesn't matter how wise they are, the words they use, or the Greek they know, or the Hebrew they know, or the Aramaic they know, or when they went to Bible college, or how old they are. You, John, stay in the shadow of the cross. And I tell you, I wish I knew that little, and I've done that, but I would have argued less. I would have saved my time. And even in my arguments, I wouldn't have tried to convince them of my theology. I would have tried to bring them to the shadow of the cross. You may think different than me, believe different, and we may never get this figured out, but come to Jesus. Let's do this. Because all these signs, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen, this will, this gospel will be preached. And that's what I told that young guy. I says, our job is to preach the gospel. Because we don't know people's ends. And when people pass away, as far as they're concerned, Jesus just came back. And all the doctrines, and they could have shelves full of eschatology. Now, I'll study it. It's very interesting to me. It's important, but it's not the most important thing. The book of Revelation is not called the book of Revelation. When Paul wrote the Corinthians, he didn't write the book of Corinthians. He wrote a letter to the church in Corinthians. The real name of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, because that's the first thing John said, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Revelation is about Jesus. And so even in the shadow of the cross, I can still be in all those things, but I don't camp there. Jesus is the key. You know, and during worship one time, I had an idea for a media. I don't know if it's commercial, but I may do it in Mexico in Spanish, and it was just words, people walking around with words over their head. Some of them had sin. Some of them had shame. Some of them had past abortions. And they're just words. Everybody had a word over their head. And then it showed the shadow of the cross. And as the cross crossed over them, the words would change. And it would go from death to life. And all these words would change. It was just simply because of the shadow of the cross. And then it would say, isn't it time to know who you really are, to walk who you really are? And so that would be it. And so I would tell myself those things. That's the only thing that will. I know many things matter now, but that is the only thing that will matter. One division, two judgments. Do you know him? And Paul said, some will be saved, but as through fire. They won't have any works to show, be wood, hay, and stubble, and others are gold. I don't know, if you could go back and tell yourself some things, I don't know what you would tell you. It'd be different, you know? I'd probably say you need to get a car quick so you don't have to push this bike. I mean, there'd be different things. But the cross is still casting a shadow today, and all who run for the safety can be changed in a moment. The thief on his cross said, remember me. It wasn't even the right sinner's prayer. You know, when I was little, you know, it was so easy to receive. I remember, and I'll end with this story, I remember being in being in anguish over, there was a situation at home, and I was just at church, and so I went to the church on the hill, and this lady gets up during prayer time, and sometimes they would have prayer time before us, they'd have the worship, and she goes, there's a person here going through a situation at home, God says he's going to take care of it. I knew that was me. What would I do today? I rode my bike home so happy, I knew that was me. I didn't doubt it. I didn't question it. I fully embraced it. 2 weeks later, it broke forth. What would I say today? She stood up at the wrong time. It's the wrong person. It's the wrong this. See, sometimes we know too much, and so God wants to bring us back to that simplicity. Do we fully embrace everything, like healing? See, Alan says healing. It's just my room. I went up there because I knew if I start wearing glasses, then I'm going to start doing this and this. I didn't want to accept any of that, so I don't want that. Chris gave me a word. You're going to live a long life. Alan gave me a word. You're going to be like a thoroughbred and run to the very end hard. So I don't want that. So I fully embrace it. Can we just be like those? Just like a little kid. She didn't point to me. She didn't say, John Artzer. She, in the spirit, I just received it. I just picked it. I rode my bike home. I never had one question. What would I do today if I was in a situation and someone stood up? Cammy just knows the situation. She's wrong. They stood up at the wrong time. Sometimes we know too much. We got to know less. The scribes and Pharisees knew a lot. They knew all the prophecies about the Messiah, but they didn't know him. Even the demons say that the guy tried to cast him out. Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? I just embraced it. See, sometimes we want these deep revelations and we just need the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes in worship, Alan will say there's deliverance. Well, I need to be delivered, but maybe that's for someone else. But the little heart says that's for me. I was thinking about that story. 2 weeks later, it broke forth. God solved it. I knew that word was for me. Would I do that today? Or would I judge the vessel and not what they contain? Not save long enough, don't know enough. They didn't use the right pronunciation in the Greek. So, Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you that you cast a shadow, God, the shadow of protection. I thank you that we can walk with you because of the cross. We have all those blessings. We can receive healing. We can receive the Father's love. We can receive the Holy Spirit. We can speak in tongues and then the interpret because of the cross. I thank you, Jesus, we're fully embraced by the Father because you fully embraced your call and your cross and your death and your resurrection, Lord. I thank you. You're not on the cross and you're not in the tomb. You're on the throne. But the power of the cross still goes forth, God. It just was an event so we'd be saved. It was so we would know you and the Father. So I thank you, Lord. That promise is still going forth today. In Jesus' name, amen.